This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. This is a watershed moment in the conversation about sexual harassment and misconduct. Allegations against men in elected office, high-profile media companies, and Hollywood have all made headlines in recent months. And here in North Carolina, those revelations have opened up an inquiry into the culture in our own state. WUNC Capital Bureau Chief Jeff Tabiri has spent the past month talking with more than three dozen lawmakers, lobbyists, staff, interns, and journalists who have spent time at the North Carolina General Assembly. He uncovered two troubling incidents involving former Republican lawmakers and a culture that some call handsy and demeaning and others describe as friendly in a fraternity-like environment. Jeff Tabiri is with me to talk about more. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Hey there, Frank.
So tell us what you were looking for and who you talked to.
I talked to almost 40 people. We're talking about lawmakers, lobbyists, journalists, staff members within the building, a couple of interns, all current and former on each of those roles. Generally asked them three basic questions. What is the workplace culture at the General Assembly? How would you describe it to an outsider? Are there serial offenders, or are there people that you particularly know to stay away from, or who you hear from colleagues, they stay away from them? And third, what, if anything, needs to be done? So we tried to cast, I tried to cast a wide net, hear from a lot of people, talk to Republicans and Democrats, men and women, more women naturally, but tried to cast a wide net and step back and try to frame this up as fairly and, of course, factually as possible.
And you're looking for a couple of things here. One is broad and subjective. What is the culture? How would you describe it? And then you can kind of, take the temperature as you listen to answers. But then also looking for any specific examples. And you found two, albeit not current there, but they happened a while ago. The first involves a former Republican representative, David Allman from Stanley County. Tell us more.
That's right. This was 10 years ago in July of 2007. And I should personally note, I've been in that building working for almost 3 years. So both of these two more extreme incidents happened long before I was in the building, before I even worked for this organization. And they're both incidents of involving people whose names I did not even know before I started doing the reporting here. David Almond left abruptly in 2007, and there were media reports of, an indecent act or something inappropriate that happened. It didn't come out. It hasn't come out until now. What happened, allegedly, as we have corroborated, is that he exposed himself to a legislative assistant and then he masturbated on an office chair. Folks within his caucus went to him and said, "You need to leave and you need to leave now." He did. It was dealt with swiftly. There was not an internal investigation. There were not criminal charges filed. So that's In short, the Almond incident.
And what you just reported now, which has been corroborated, was not reported in the media at the time. And you spoke with David Almond about this now. And let's hear what he had to say when you asked him about it.
Number one, I would deny any and all accusations. Secondly, no one has ever publicly accused me of anything. And thirdly, the issues that did exist between a complainant and I have long since been resolved privately and on a friendly basis and non-financially. And that's really about all I have to say about it.
May I ask you, why did you resign if these allegations are not true?
I thought it was the best thing to do, and that's really all I have to say about this.
Former Republican lawmaker David Allman talking with WUNC Capital Bureau Chief Jeff Tabiri about an alleged incident of sexual misconduct from 2007. So do we know what the resolution was, Jeff?
The resolution is that he left public office and he has not returned to public office in any capacity that I'm aware of, or that he never ran for public office again.
And there was another incident that you uncovered. This goes back to 2003. This with regard to former Republican lawmaker David McComas from New Hanover County. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the allegation here comes from a then young and new lobbyist at the General Assembly, a woman by the name of Marisol Jimenez, who was working for an organization, El Pueblo is the organization. On her first week at the General Assembly, the story that she relayed to me and that was corroborated by her boss, who was also in the room, room for a meeting was that she entered, this lawmaker noticed a tattoo on the back of her neck that was visible because of the fact that her hair was tied in such a way that the tattoo was visible. And very quickly, this is according to Jimenez, the lawmaker grabbed the ponytail and pulled her or dragged her around the room.
Here's what David McComas had to say about it.
Man, if that happened, I think she should have called the police right then and there.
Do you dispute that it happened?
Well, I certainly don't remember. I dispute it. Yes, sir. That's very much out of character.
Former Republican lawmaker David McComas talking to my guest, WNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff Tiberi, about an alleged incident of misconduct. Again, corroborated. Jeff, from your reporting, that happened in 2003. You also spoke with Marisol Jimenez, who is the 26-year-old lobbyist who says that this is what happened to her. Here's what she says.
What I found was a group of men who were sort of unashamed in flexing their power with me and crossing boundaries with me and putting me into situations that were hostile and sometimes even threatening.
And former lobbyist Marisol Jimenez talking about her experience working in the North Carolina General Assembly. So, Jeff, let's get to this broader culture then, what it's like to work there. What'd you find?
I'm going to offer a quote first from a lobbyist I talked to who said, "It's cultural. It doesn't feel predatory. It feels like the people think they have a right to my body and my space. A lot of touching on my back and on my shoulder. They think they have access to my body," close quote. That's a current lobbyist at the General Assembly who asked for anonymity, which we granted because she has a fear of reprisal. She doesn't want to be, to have lawmakers refuse to meet with her. This is a tough story to tell because lobbyists inherently, it's a job of relationships. Right. You need to have good relationships in order to do this job. Those two more extreme examples that we just talked about, those are outliers. And by and large, good old boy, that phrase came up a lot. Madmen culture came up, 8-10 times. And a couple of people actually said to me, they mentioned the phrase a rib counter. They said, one thing is that, lawmakers will come in for a hug and they'll count your ribs, meaning, that hand comes along the side and it's right near the bra line. And I thought that was an interesting way. I had never heard that euphemism before in telling this. So I think that quote from that lobbyist really gets at this. But it's also it cuts along generational lines to an extent. It seemed to me that there were younger lobbyists who would regard more of this as inappropriate and not for the workplace, whereas there were some lobbyists who have more experience and have been around for a long time that that were more dismissive of this or didn't think that this was really rising to the level of harassment. There is some subjectivity and ambiguity here.
We are talking to Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff Tiberi today on the state of things, talking about the culture at the North Carolina General Assembly in the light of revelations about sexual misconduct and harassment. Well, along these lines, you talk with Becky Gray, who is a legislative staffer, now a lobbyist and vice president at the John Locke Foundation, about that very thing. Let's hear what she had to say.
During the time that I worked at the legislature, I felt like I was respected 100% of the time. There's a certain amount of respect that comes with the office when you work for leadership. There's a certain amount of respect there. Jeff, I never felt disrespected. I never felt, that I was second best, that I was, there was a certain amount of, would describe it not as offensive behavior. It wasn't offensive. It wasn't really offensive to me, but chivalry.
Becky Gray, vice president of the conservative John Locke Foundation, who worked at the legislature for 20 years, and she was talking with WNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff Tiberi. Culture is a hard thing to describe when you're in it, right? Because you can't really see it for what it is. Now with these revelations and people coming out, speaking out, and the other thing is we notice when women speak out, they had to shed the fear of coming out. They come out years and years later. And so, as somebody who covers the legislature, what's your sense of the ability of people to be able to know what's happening and see it in the current context and not in the context of 'twas ever thus?
It's challenging because there are a lot of current lobbyists who I reached out to, some of whom I got on the phone, others of whom you leave an email or a Twitter message or a voicemail for. There were many I got to, I connected with, and they were pleasant, but they chuckled at me. They said, you're doing this story? Good luck. I can't talk to you.
Well, talk more about that. What about that? How was that received when you went and said, hey, I want to find out about the culture here?
There were very few people who were defensive or dismissive or didn't want to talk to me, but there were certainly a handful of people who said, best of luck. I can't talk to you about this.
Any resistance? Any real resistance?
Too risky for me. I guess I would point to two minor things, or I guess I would point to two things. I sent an email to Paul Kobel, who's a legislative services officer at the General Assembly. He's effectively the head of the building. He runs operations there. The head of the Senate, the head of the House hire him, and they hire that position. They fire or move on from that position. I sent him an email a couple weeks ago. I said, "Morning, Mr. Kobel. My bosses have asked me to look into the workplace culture at the legislature. Do you track the number of complaints that are filed, whether those are personnel complaints, sexual harassment categorized in some other way? Thanks, Jeff." He replied to me, "I love your boss's typical when did you stop beating your wife questions. We are not dealing with any sexual harassment complaints, but would address them on a case-by-case basis if and when they occur." And then he added, "Given the recent news about the media, I should ask, how do your bosses deal with sexual harassment complaints, and how many are you dealing with? Do they categorize them in some way?" So I would let the listeners decipher that however they want, but it was, from my perspective, a fairly innocuous question. And there are walls that do go up immediately with some people.
Jeff DeBerry, WUNC Capital Bureau Chief. Jeff, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Frank.
You can find links to Jeff's reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a new memoir that recounts two women's experience going to school in Durham during the time of segregation and desegregation. We'll talk about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.